Hi, Bob Barney with the Friday Wrap-Up by The Plain Truth Today, brought to you by theplaintruth.com, the one place to go to find out what's happening and what it means for you, your family, and maybe your future. According to God's prophecies in the Bible as well, we take that into account, the only news site that I know, really, that does that. But we're going to do the Friday Wrap-Up and go over the stories of the week. I'm still trying to recover from an elective surgery I had, and I got a bacterial infection, which is pretty, it's not dangerous right now, but if it ever got into my blood, it could be very dangerous. And if anybody knows anything, this is a Your Health Today plug here. We have on theplaintruth.com, if you go to theplaintruth.com, there is a section called Your Health Today. And we try to inform you about what the Bible says you should do about your health, what food you should eat, how you should live your lifestyle and stuff like that. But we also have many articles about many things, prostate cancer, breast cancer, gut bacteria issues, everything that we talk about on Your Health Today is very timely. It's very informative. And one of the issues that's going on right now, I'm going to talk about this because it's happening with me, is this antibacterial resistance for antibacterial drugs like the old penicillin, amoxicillin, Cipro, Keflex. A lot of the new, especially UTIs, which is in your urinary tract, infections are absolutely no longer treatable with a pill type antibiotic. And you have to really go on intravenous antibiotics in order to maybe cure things. And when it comes to like in a male, the prostate or heavy tissued organs, you have a problem with bacteria living in there that is very hard to get antibiotics to work with. And some people go through years, and this is not a lie, years of antibacterial products that they try to put in intravenously in order to combat certain bacterial infections that no longer is treatable like it was maybe 15 years ago. And it's going to be a scourge. It's going to be one of the health scourges of the Western world that have antibiotics in everything you eat, because most of the chickens, most of the cows, most of the beef, most of the everything you can imagine, even city drinking water is full of antibiotics. People don't know that, but if you go to the Your Health Today, you might find a few articles about that. But it's the truth. And that's what I'm seriously fighting right now, a bacteria resistant or an antibacterial resistant bacteria infection. And so it's kind of hurt me because I work every day at my job, you know, Tamco Paint, my wife and I own, and it's kind of blown us off course a little bit. But anyway, I do want to say that I haven't done that many shows this week. I did a Best of Bob, and I think I did a Monday show, and last Friday's wrap-up was the last thing I did, and it might be this way for a few weeks more. I have missed a lot of time even at work. I have a beautiful office at home. It looks like a White House office, even with a White House desk. But so I've been working from home more and more, but just wanted to give you why I'm not doing as many shows. But we have put on many, many good shows this week that we get from YouTube that I think was very informative. Peter Schiff, for example, is very informative. I'm going to start out with him again because he believes, like I believe, that a major crash is coming, worse than 2008. It may even parallel 1929 or worse. And the war with Iran is making it worse. And the price of oil is the blood supply of the world, and the price of oil is going to hit real soon. And I know so many people think because we are oil sufficient, like we were not in 1974 or 1979, we are today, but oil is a worldwide commodity, and whatever the prices that these oil companies can get, unless the government wants to go in and take them all over like communist governments do, which Donald Trump is trying to do with almost every American business he can think of anyway. He's acting like a Democrat. But because companies are going to gouge, and that's the plain truth right now. That's what's happening. The last time oil was $100 a barrel, gas was about $3.45. I saw a report the other day. Now oil is $92 a barrel and gas is $4.15. Now you ask me why, and I can tell you, because the oil business is a worldwide monopoly. And we're not talking about the Arab OPEC here. We're talking about Exxon, Mobil, Chevron, Citgo, all your major suppliers, BP. They're all in cahoots fixing prices. And we had $150 barrel prices during the second Gulf War, if I remember right. I think it was the second Gulf War. It would have been 2003. And we had $150 barrel oil, and gas prices got up to $3.23. Now we have $92 barrel oil, and we have gas prices nationwide average of $4.25. So if you don't tell me that that's not price gouging, and I see that in my business, I want to tell you right now, in my business, the paint business, and we are a solvent-based, we're not a water-based, but we're a solvent-based automotive coatings business, that the price of solvent doubled in one day after the war started, and oil went from around, what was it, I think $68 a barrel, and it went up to like 85 or 88 in a couple of days. And even with their existing supplies, which you know they didn't, it did not get through the pipeline yet, they doubled the prices of solvents. Toluene went from $55 to $1.10 a pound. Xylene went from $50 to $1 a pound. MAK went from $2.85 to almost $5 a pound. Everything doubled. Resins doubled, which had nothing to do with a two-day price increase. But this is what they did. When oil came back down, by the way, the prices of solvents have not yet come back down. They are still at these artificial highs because it's a monopoly. And there's no two ways about it. And they're going to gouge. And so this price gouging is going to cause a recession, because this war is not close to being over at all. In my opinion, the way we're fighting this war is half-assed backwards. We should have started with a blockade. We should have already had the Strait of Hormuz with tens of... Well, we don't have that many, but with hundreds of U.S. ships and anti-rocket launching, anti-drone launching technology, we should have guarded the Strait of Hormuz before Iran knew what we were doing. We should have put in a blockade after that for a month or two, trying to start a negotiation with Iran, not even threatening any war at all. And then if you're going to threaten war, you don't do so publicly. You tell them privately, we expect you to deal fairly with us, knowing they're not going to do it anyway. But if you don't, we're going to step this war up. We're going to step this conflict up to a war, and we'll start hitting your infrastructure. So we really want you to take this serious. By then, you have the Strait of Hormuz completely protected by our U.S. Navy. You have the blockade ready to already going. And then you threaten war privately, not publicly. When you do it publicly, you're forcing the Iranian government to try to use propaganda now with their people. Remember, they don't want to be overthrown by their people and butchered and hung alive, which would happen to them. So when you are like Donald Trump, you got to go out there and constantly with your arrogance bluster out what you're going to do. You are making it impossible for any negotiations in the first place, and you're also making it impossible for your enemy to save face with their own public for a while before you start the bombing campaign. And after what you knew they were going to do, after you have prepared your allies, after you have prepared your country and your people, then you go to war. And you go to war to win it with total victory, and you need boots on the ground. And that's something I don't think we ever had in the play. But anyway, I wanted to get into Peter Schiff with his comment about what he thinks is going on. We played yesterday, or maybe it's this morning. I'm not really looking as much. My editor's doing most of the work on the plain truth right now. But we played Peter Schiff saying, watch silver. You know, silver and gold had a pullback. But gold is still at an all-time high when you look at it at $4,727 an ounce. And silver went down from 118 to about 75. And then silver's gone to 77, and silver went to 79 and hit 80, and it came back to 77. And then yesterday or today, we played a Peter Schiff saying, watch silver more than gold, because silver is needed in AI more than gold is, and silver is in hot demand. And I noticed this morning, silver was $84 an ounce, where gold is pretty much still stable. And here's what he has to say now about this coming recession and house crash. And it's kind of important that you listen to this because it means something.
There is no end in sight to the embargo / closure of the Strait of Hormuz. I think oil is going high. I think if this war continues, which it likely will, we could be $120 to $150 a barrel easy late summer, early fall. Also, as oil prices are rising, so too are bond yields. The yield on a 10-year is 4.43. This is the highest it's been since the Liberation Day sell-off. I believe these rates are headed much higher. That's going to crush the housing market. That's going to send mortgage rates to new highs. And higher fuel prices are going to be recessionary. Powell did kind of get that right. When oil prices go up, people have less money to spend. So spending goes down other places. And if demand goes down for some things because the money isn't there because it's spent on food and energy, then the people who sell those things have to cut prices. Higher energy prices can result in lower other prices. Overall, the consumer is spending the same amount of money. He's just not getting as much stuff.
And I have to say, I agree with his commentary there 100%. I'll be right back after this word about theplaintruth.com. Hi, Bob Barney for theplaintruth.com, the place to go to your health today. Go to our message board, go to the main page of The Plain Truth to see the latest stories or these podcasts where we have my commentaries, other people's commentaries. Saturdays, we have a morning Sabbath show. Saturday nights, we have an evening entertainment. Wednesday nights, we have a Western Wednesday night show. And Sundays, we have a wrap-up a weekly events type show, usually a YouTube, Mark Halperin or some other show that is would be interesting to listen to someone else's take on the weekly wrap-up that we do Friday nights here by me. And that is theplaintruth.com. Go there every day. You will not be disappointed with what you find, and you might find things that help you, your family, and your future. And you will also find out what God may have to say about it. That's theplaintruth.com. Thank you. And we're back for the Friday wrap-up. And the next issue I want to get into, again, is this topic we've been talking about now for several months. And it's a topic that we have on The Plain Truth today, every day, especially on the message board. And that is this vast corruption going around the White House, I'm afraid it has to be, about this war. And the idea that people are profiting in the billions, you heard that right, in the billions off of a war that already has killed, 14 soldiers, or I think it's 14 so far, and wounded probably a lot more, and cost us $25 billion already to fight a war that we are not winning. And I'm sorry, but we are not winning this war. We are doing this war like we did Vietnam and a lot of other wars. We are playing half war. And a war is an evil, sinful act. And if you're going to get into a war, you have to end it as soon as possible, by all means possible. And I mean all means possible. That is the MacArthur Doctrine, and Bob Barney completely agrees with the MacArthur Doctrine. And when you get into war, you got to prepare your country, you got to prepare your allies, I mentioned that earlier, and then you have to do an all-out war. I don't think we got into it very smartly, and I don't think we're going to get out of it very easily, and that is going to cause a major problem. It's going to wipe out Congress for the Republicans in the fall, unless, and this could be the case, unless the Democrats keep putting up communist and anti-American candidates and think they're going to win in the fall by just going after Donald Trump, and it's not going to happen. The American people either hate Donald Trump or love Donald Trump or don't. I don't think there's anybody that don't have an opinion of Donald Trump. But the point being, what people think of Donald Trump is already baked into cake. You're not going to change anybody's opinion that much right now. And attacking Donald Trump in his policies even is not going to help the Democrats. And running anti-American, anti-law enforcement, sane policies, communist policies, like Ma'am Danny and this woman in Seattle, and now the woman in L.A. and the guy in Chicago. These people are born-again communists that want to destroy the American system. And I still don't believe the majority of Americans want to go there yet. Maybe someday the younger Americans do because they don't know any better. They grew up with a silver spoon in their mouth. They really have. There's two things about the young generation I want to say. Number one, I'm glad I'm not of this generation for two reasons. One of which is the education system sucks. It's terrible. It's liberal. It's indoctrination. And it's anti-American. Number two, they grew up in the worst times because of the fact they grew up with no opportunity. They have no chance of ever making a good living like you and I, if you're over 45, have. They have no chance of ever paying off college debts. They were stupid to go to college in the first place because there's basically, unless you're going to be a doctor or a Harvard-type law lawyer, you're not going to make any money coming out of college. You're going to have a college debt that it will take you 30 years to pay off before you can even live right. You're going to have to live at home until you're 40 and with your parents and inherit their home in order to become a homeowner. And that is what happens when you go to college. The only possible profession right now that still makes a lot of money that most people don't even know about, the profession that makes the most amount of money today are trade professions that I know people know about. Electricians. Electricians make good money. Plumbers, for example, and I just built an addition to our house a few years ago. It's hard to find two people, air conditioning people and plumbers. They're like non-existent. And when you find one, they are very expensive and they make a lot of money a day. They make more money than my contractor did. My contractor works a week to get what a plumber makes in a day. That's the plain truth. And figure anywhere, depending on the plumber, like if you're going to put in a new addition and you're going to have two sinks, you're going to have a toilet, you're going to have a shower, and maybe a bathtub, figure anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000 per drain cost. So two sinks, that's two, a shower, a toilet, a bathtub, that's five, that's $10,000, and they will do that entire operation in 3 to 4 days, one person. He'll make $10,000. So plumbers make money. But here's other industry places that make a lot of money that you don't even know about. In my business, in the automotive paint business, the average body man in America makes about $125,000 a year. People don't even realize that. That's pretty good money. You come out of college, you're lucky to get a $35,000 a year job. And you're lucky that AI is not going to replace that $35,000 a year job, because it probably will. So the people that went to college because they were told 10 years ago, you want to get into tech, you want to get into computer programming, you want to get into AI even to program for that. What they didn't tell you was you're getting into a profession that the AI is going to put you out of within the next 2 or 3 years. And so we're going to see a great unemployment rate hit. It's an artificial low right now. You know, 10 years ago, just 10 years ago, you had to have 150,000 jobs a month, new jobs per month, in order for the economy to stay even. Now, all investors and the government and bureaucrats and the experts claim you only need about 55,000 jobs per month to stay at a level 4.3% unemployment, and everybody's happy. Half the amount, a third of the amount of jobs that you needed just 10 years ago to keep everything going. And I got news for you. You still need $150,000 a month new jobs. It's a lie. The business programs are lying to you. The evening news is lying to you. The newspapers and magazines and online places that you go are lying to you. This economy only is helping the very top 10%, if that. They are living good because they make money off of investments. And I told you forever on this show that the only way rich people make money is in inflation. And this is one reason, in my opinion, Donald Trump is not caring about inflation, because he's trying to become a true billionaire. Donald Trump was never a true billionaire. people think he was. But if you understand real estate and you understand manufacturing, for example, or sales, like store sales compared to real estate, you will understand that having a billion or he was worth, according to Forbes, before this presidency, before all the lawfare, which probably wiped him out of cash. But he was worth probably $2 to $3 billion on paper with his real estate holdings. But in cash, even Forbes said they didn't think he had more than $200 million. Now, a person that is rich like a Elon Musk or a Bezos, that they make money off of selling things, not off of real estate holdings. So they have a lot of cash reserves. And the average billionaire worth $3 or $4 billion in the Trump range, the average billionaire probably has a billion of that in either gold or cash or very quick assets that they can liquidate quickly. And Donald Trump has always run his empire, to be honest, he's always run his empire by using other people's money. And that's a very smart strategy. I had an employer who I learned a lot from. His name was Frank Esposito. He was in the paint business and he was a paint manufacturer, and I learned a lot from him. In my first meeting with him, the thing he said to me, and I was told, watch out for this guy, he's not good. It turned out to be the best boss, the best person in my whole life that I ever worked for. But he said, you know, I don't make my money like where you're coming from. I make my money through opium. And I'm saying, what's this guy telling me? He's going to be a drug guy? And then he laughed, and he was an older guy, and he had a dry laugh at this and dry sense of humor. And he goes, no, O-P-M. Not opium, OPM, other people's money. Frank Esposito said, this is how I make money. You go out and you sell $100,000 worth of boat paint, and then you get the order, you get paid. I take that money that they paid you, buy it from the supplier, and then a week later, 2 weeks later, I send that product out to the person who already paid you for it, and then I pay the supplier with the money I already sat on in a CD in my bank or a money-making bank account for 2 to 3 weeks. That's how you use other people's money in order to make money yourself. And that strategy is Donald Trump's strategy. And a lot of people in real estate are always borrowing money to buy large property they themselves do not have the cash to buy. That's not the case with people who have big stores. If you run big operations with sales, you have a high cash flow going through your business. When that happens, you usually have also high cash reserves. Yes, you do also have a lot of lending power. You can go to any bank. If you're like, for example, if you're a Amazon, Bezos could go to any bank if he didn't want to use any of his, you know, probably $80 billion in cash. He probably could go to any bank and get any loan he wanted at a very good reasonable rate and maybe not want to use his cash reserves. But for the most part, there are two types of billionaires, those that have it in cash value and those who have it in real estate or possession value. And I always laugh about people when they talk about us. We have a very successful paint business and we're worth a lot of money on paper, but we're not worth a lot of money in cash. And that's just the nature of running a smaller family type business where you just reinvest and reinvest and reinvest in stock, in raw materials. And you buy up raw materials when you know you're in times of inflation, because that's how you're going to make your money, by being able to be less expensive than everybody else because you bought more than they did and you anticipated inflation. And that's what I'm doing right now with our business. We're buying more raw material than I want to buy because I think it's going to continue to go up. I think this war is not coming to an end quickly. I think we got into it wrongly, and I think the objective was right. I'm going to say this right now and end up, and we'll talk about the weekend a little bit. I don't have the shows prepared. I'm not as prepared for this weekend as I should be. I think there's going to be the Saturday evening. It might be a Hemingway. I think it might be a Hemingway story, but I'm not sure. I haven't really looked, but we'll get into the wrap up in a minute. But I wanted to end this by saying that this war is going to cause a major recession. We're not going to evade that. And I also want to say that the middle class is in a desperate situation. The lower class is really being supported by the middle class through their taxes. If you're 45% of the population of this country that are in the lower class, you're getting your hospitalization paid for. You're getting your rent paid for. You're getting your electricity paid for. You're collecting welfare. You're getting food stamps. You're living okay. You have a lifestyle where you don't care about living day to day off the government. And you don't ever have any ambition or any idea that you're going to live any better. So you just live like that. You do a lot of cash jobs on the side. So you have enough cash for the drugs you're using or the cigarettes you're smoking or the tattoos you're putting on your body. But other than that, you don't have any aspirations to own a big house or having a nice car or anything that like the average middle class family wants to have. The average middle class family wants to have a nice home in the suburbs. They want to have a nice two or three cars, actually, and they want to have a good standard of living, go out to restaurants several times a week, have good meat on the table, good food to buy. A lot of people today in the middle class were buying organic. They were trying to watch their diet, and now they find out all these food prices are making them eat maybe food they shouldn't be eating because it's cheaper. And that is the plague that's happening to the middle class. If you're in this great broad, I'd say 40% of the population, maybe more, maybe almost 50% of the population, from the lower middle class to the upper middle class, you are suffering like you have not suffered in the last, I would say, at least 48 years, and maybe worse. And that is why a lot of experts, including Peter Schiff and Ray Dalio and others that we put on the Plain Truth podcast, are saying we're going into a crash that may even be worse than 1929. We are like the Titanic, hit the iceberg, water's rushing in, and you know it took 47 minutes for the captain of the Titanic to listen to his head engineer who designed the Titanic, who immediately told him it was gonna sink maybe in 3 hours, but it still took him 47 minutes to tell people to start boarding lifeboats. If he was 47 minutes earlier, probably the lifeboats would have all been launched fully full. Now that would still be a problem for about 1,000 people, but 500 to 600 more people would have survived if they started boarding the lifeboats when the head engineer told them to. And that's where we are with the United States of America today. We are sinking. There is no coming back. I'm sorry. We're going to have to go bankrupt. I don't know what that means. We're going to have to skip out on our debt. We're going to have to tell the people who own $39 trillion worth of our debt, you're going to have to give us more time. We're going to stop making payments, and we're going to pay you 25 cents on a dollar. And if you don't like it, we'll go to 10 cents on a dollar. It's going to cause maybe a world war. I don't know what it's going to cause, but that is our future. And if you follow the Bible, you know what's going to happen to the United States of America, because you know who the United States of America is. We are the Israel, the Ephraim of the Bible. And we try to point that out in this show all the time so you can be prepared for the future of this country. It's not bright. Well, that's the Friday wrap-up for today, and I'm going to get in a little bit about the weekend, because we also propose that the Ten Commandments are still fully in force. And although we're a news broadcast, we are not a religion, and we're not an evangelical organization. We're not tax-exempt. We are, like I said, a news organization. We know there is a God. You can prove scientifically there is a creator God, and I believe you can prove historically and through understanding fulfilled prophecy of the Bible, you can prove that the Bible is the very Word of God. And the Word of God has some good messages for you personally, but if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you want to obey Him, but it's very bad for you if you are a regular person who really doesn't believe in God and does not believe in the Bible and you think it's a bunch of fairy tales, you got a problem coming, I'm afraid to say, and you got a real problem coming in the next life when you stand in judgment. But the Ten Commandments are in force, and that includes the Sabbath commandment, the fourth commandment. Honor the Sabbath day. Actually, remember is the word. We did that last Saturday. We had a great show for C.S. Lewis about the only commandment that tells you to remember. Why? Because God knew that mankind did not want to remember his, not the Jewish, his Sabbath day. Well, we do have a Sabbath show tomorrow, every Sabbath day at 7:11 a.m., which is Saturday, not Sunday. This is Bob Barney for theplaintruth.com saying thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Until next time, bye-bye.